career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. Skill Bridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.
What do you think changed? Why do you think he's coming out against this now? And have you spoken to the president and Elon since the infamous tweet?
Well, I'll tell you, I called Elon last night and he didn't answer. But I hope to talk to him today. I mean, it's not, you know, it's very friendly and we can, and we've laughed about our differences on policy before.
Have you, though? That was a little catty while I called and he didn't answer. I mean, he does have a million kids. Can you imagine what bath time's like? I'm just kidding. But still, I thought that was kind of interesting. Well, I called and he didn't answer. That was Mike Johnson yesterday talking about Elon Musk and the fight that's breaking out kind of between everybody with regards to the big, beautiful bill and the rescissions package, too. And the fallout, if there is fallout from it. Because I think that the criticisms that Musk had yesterday were legitimate. And I, instead of telling someone that they don't know what they're talking about, which I think is really ignorant and false, and I think that that's the last refuge of people who cannot explain the bill, I think that people need to hear the criticisms of the voters and go accordingly, because this idea that, well, you know, he just doesn't know how this works. He's not talking about, first off, the idea that you couldn't reduce spending in that bill is such a crock of pig feces. I am so damn tired of these asinine lawmakers telling me the same yarn over and over again. I get really pissed off over this stuff, and I can imagine you all do as well. I'm so tired of it. My gosh, tax to blanking death. And I got these people telling us, well, it's not, we can't really cut anymore from it. That's a lie, and we know it's a lie. That's emphatically not true. But furthermore, why is the rescissions package so tiny whiny? That's the other thing. I mean, you're talking about the difference between, I think, what was it? They said, what number was it that I gave? 170 something billion, I think. And then now we got 9 billion. And they wanted the $385 billion in SALT offset by $9 billion. That's a shell game, y'all. That's what that's called. So welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the first hour. We got an interesting show for you today. We got David Mamet. It's going to be on later. And you should watch him. He's got a book out. But I think that he's probably the greatest, one of the greatest living screenwriters. And I think he is the probably greatest to write dialogue of our generation, of any generation. He is phenomenal. He changed the game. If you like Taylor Sheridan, if you like Guy Ritchie, if you like Quentin Tarantino, if you like, where do I start? Everything's comparable. You love David Mamet. You loved his Chicago A scene from The Untouchables. There's so much. So he's going to be on a little bit later. And also, we're going to get into a portion of the bill that specifically relates to AI, the big, beautiful bill. And we're going to talk to Georgia Representative Rich McCormick on that, because there's a section of this bill that a lot of people, including myself, are concerned about, because it seems to strip away the ability for states to manage and deal with AI on their own independently. And I get a little worried about that kind of stuff. So we got all of that coming and more. But to start with the big, beautiful bill. Big, beautiful bill. So it's in the Senate. Everybody's fighting. It's in the Senate. Everybody's fighting. And I got a question. Let me start out by this. Kane, let me ask you this. How many people in Congress do you think are involved in insider trading?
Oh, good Lord. I mean, technically, they all have the potential. So I don't really know for sure. But if you look at the top 10, I would say there's that's pretty bad. So I would say at least the top 10 that rank look as though they've been harvesting a little info from government work.
A lot, yeah. I mean, it's a lot because you got a lot of these lawmakers that go in with, you know, a minimum amount, not a minimum, but a smaller amount in their bank account, and then they're there, and they end up millions of dollars richer. Now, you're probably like, well, why are you asking that, Dana, as it relates to the big, beautiful bill? Well, there's a reason why I'm asking that, because of some of the comments that took place yesterday, and I addressed some of them. I addressed some of them that were on X specifically. So, for instance, I saw, let me pull this up. I'm trying to figure out, I saw this yesterday, it was Marjorie Taylor Greene. And Marjorie Taylor Greene had tweeted about the portion of the bill that I actually just mentioned. The pages 278, 279, where states can't regulate AI for a decade. And she tweeted, full transparency, I did not know about this section on pages 278, 279 of the OBBB, that's the one big beautiful bill, that strips states of the right to make laws or regulate AI for 10 years. I'm adamantly opposed to this. It's a violation of states' rights. And I would have voted no if I had known this was in there. And then she talked about how it needs to be stripped out of the Senate, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe she should have read the bill instead of tweeting about, oh, I don't know, for some bizarre reason, May 21st, right when they were passing it, she was yelling and screaming about DeSantis and Haley. For some reason, I have no idea why. She said every no on Trump's big, beautiful bill is from the Freedom Caucus, and they were and are DeSantis supporters, and one was Nikki Haley. Oh, my gosh. Maybe she should have, I don't know, read the damn bill instead of running her mouth on X. Maybe. I mean, look, if you can read the memos and the proposals within the White House about things that could affect stocks, I'm just saying, if you can read that to help you with insider trading, you sure as hell can read a bill. You can read the bill. I think that's a kind of a big point. You can read the bill then. And I made this point online as well. If you can read proposals that influence your insider trading, you can read a damn bill. And the reason I bring this up is because that lady walked in with what? 700,000. I mean, that's what was reported. That's per Newsweek. And she apparently made 22 million. I honestly think she's wasted in Congress. Hell, if you can make that kind of money out of $700,000, this woman needs to be on Wall Street. I'm just saying, this is what Newsweek's been reporting. People say that it's absurd, but what's factual is that her net worth ballooned from $700,000 before taking office to, as she's an estimated 22 million right now. And that's because of all the financial disclosures they have to file. Her base salary as a member of Congress is $174,000. So she's either like a genius at trading, or she's getting, you know, she's doing insider stuff that everybody else would go to jail for. It's one or the other. I kind of think, especially considering her outburst about the bill, I kind of think it's the latter. Now, it's Republicans and Democrats that do it. And this is what angers me so badly. All of these people do this. You're telling me that you can't read. And it was, yes, it was 1,000 pages. Yes, it takes a couple of days to read. That's why you have a staff. If you're out on X writing diatribes on X, if you're reading all these memos pertaining to insider trading, you can read the bill. I don't think there's any excuse at all whatsoever. There's no excuse. And the financial disclosures, by the way, those are indisputable. Like I said, that's something that's filed that they have to file publicly. So I think you could have read the bill. We were talking, how long ago were we talking about this? I know I was tweeting about it over a week ago. And I know that we were talking about it on air about that time. Yeah. It's been a while. So it's not like, and I know other individuals have been talking about it too. So it's not like, you know, this was a surprise. I don't know how that at all takes, you know, I don't know how that surprise that would surprise anybody that this would be in the bill. Now, Mike Johnson can disagree with Elon Musk on this bill all he wants to. And I responded to something Stephen Miller had said. And I hope, by the way, that we are all cool enough and smart enough to realize that asking questions of members of government about things that affect our taxes isn't an attack, et cetera, et cetera. But Stephen Miller's been talking quite a bit. He's been kind of going after the libertarians a little bit. And Elon Musk specifically, he was saying that there's a lot of confusion with the bill, spending versus tax cuts. And I think that it's a deflection. It's a Mott Bailey, what he's doing. He's trying to say that people are claiming that tax cuts increase the deficit. I don't think anybody's saying that. I think we're all claiming that it's the ridiculous refusal to cut or reduce spending at all that are increasing. I mean, we're literally still spending at COVID levels, and I don't understand why that is. And no one, can, including Stephen Miller, can explain it. And I think it's great if you can go on Sean Hannity's show and flex all the time. But when you can't answer simple questions like this, I mean, it really kind of makes everything else seem irrelevant. Why are we spending at this, at that level? Why are we spending literally at 2020, 2021 levels? That does not make any sense to me. And I think it's when it's funding, it's still funding the government. It's still funding a lot of the Green New Scheme. It's still doing all of those things. And there are a lot of other procedural tricks that members of Congress can do to get around some of this. And yes, it's reconciliation. I get all of these deflections that a lot of the big GOP establishment throw out as defense for Bush-era spending. I get that. But it's also a shell game. So, for instance, to my point with the Stephen Miller thing, he was saying that, you know, when a libertarian like Rand attacks the deficit impact of the bill, they're attacking the tax cut. That is such a Mott Bailey argument. They're not attacking the tax cut. They're attacking the spending. Furthermore, at not any point has Stephen Miller ever addressed why these tax cuts are all only temporary. You don't have to take my word for it. I literally linked the damn bill, told you how to go through the bill using Control F and read it all for yourself. I did. And it didn't take me days. It took me literally under an hour. You can see that they are all temporary. Why are they temporary? They all expire in 2028. And so pretending that people are attacking taxes as a way to say that that costs is a great dodge from explaining why they're all temporary and they all expire in 2028. It's a bait and switch again. And I just don't, these remedial debate tactics to try to deter people and throw them off of the real question, it's not going to work. So this idea of there's going to be a major cut in taxes is a lie. You're not getting a major tax cut. Extending what we had in 2017, if that's what was happening permanently, extending that isn't a tax cut. That's an extension of status quo. Cutting taxes further than that would be a tax cut. The tax, no tax on tips, that expires in 2028. The increased deductions, that expires in 2028. With regards to manufacturing, that all expires in 2028. I wrote about this. I copied and pasted it from the literal bill. And after every single one of these, temporarily, expires 2028, expires 2028, expires 2028, expires 2028, every single one. So we can do this remedial Mott Bailey BS as a time waster, but that's not going to deter people who know what the real issue is from asking legitimate questions. And I got to tell you, too, as patriots, never be so far up your government's ass that you're afraid to ask legitimate questions about what happens to your livelihoods. We got a lot more on the way. We got headlines coming up as we move. Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at All Family Pharmacy. They make it so easy to get the medications that you need. No gatekeeping by Big Pharma. No gatekeeping from the government as well. And there was an executive order signed on May 12th to lower prescription costs so we can stop paying more than other countries. And, you know, you deserve medicines for fair prices without totally egregious markups. All Family Pharmacy is offering a summer sale right now, 20% off of your entire order. And that's going to give you a little extra breathing room. And their prices are already affordable. First off, right now through June, they're offering 20% off site-wide. No insurance is required. I mean, they have licensed doctors in all 50 states. You get fast shipping right to your door. You can get your stuff in as little as 2 to 3 days overnight if you're in a pinch, which I've absolutely done that, and they have come in clutch. And you can get everything that you need, your day-to-day medications, antibiotics, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, everything. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and enjoy 20% off using promo code Dana20. Do not wait for permission to protect yourself and your family. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, coupon code Dana20 to save 20%.
Was this whole Doge thing the best idea? After trying to save the government trillions of dollars in spending, Congress is voting to only keep $9 billion of the Doge cuts. Are they totally insulting our intelligence?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I think I would ever rather have a woman driver than a driverless taxi. Yeah, like, you know how, what's the thing that the feminists were saying? Like, pick between a bear or a man in the woods. And I'm like, really? As long as I don't have another feminist in the woods or meet a feminist in the woods, it's fine. Driverless taxis are reacting like humans on San Francisco streets. I don't like any of this. The chilling development was identified by University of San Francisco engineering professor William Riggs. He's been studying the Waymo cars since their inception, and it was on a journey with a reporter from the San Francisco Chronicle. They noticed that the Waymo they were in crept to a rolling start at a pedestrian crossing before the person reached the other footpath. They said the subtle movement was reminiscent of the way humans act behind the wheel, and it was a strange occurrence for the robotic Waymo. I think that's kind of an over assumption with that. I mean, they're mimicking human behavior. It doesn't mean that they're doing it like humans because they're sentient. Jiminy Christmas. How, are they high on their own supply over there? And of course they are. It's San Francisco. But yeah, I would just speed up, you know. Just two Chinese nationals were charged with smuggling potential agroterrorism fungus in the U.S. Hang them. That's what the DOJ says. We'll talk more about this, though. They said that they were I can't even pronounce this. Fusarium gramimimum. I don't care.
That sounds
it's
right.
Dangerous, gross stuff. We're going to come back. It's its own segment. Don't worry. Doritos and M&Ms could be forced to include warnings in Texas. If you're one of those people who need to be warned repeatedly over and over again about the process and the process of fast food. SecDef ordered the Navy to strip the name of people who had nothing to do with the Navy or ships from Navy ships. It's another obvious headline. Stick with us. Gold Co. Precious Metals. This is a great hedge in uncertain times. I mean, I love the gold standard, all about gold and silver. And you can get your free 2025 gold and silver kit today. Qualify and get unlimited bonus silver from Gold Co. That's real silver, and it's instantly matched to your account, tax and penalty free. Gold and silver, as you know, have stood the test of time, and these are hard assets that offer real security. Get educated before you invest, though. They tell you everything that you need to know. It breaks down how precious metals fits into your financial strategy. And again, you can unlock that exclusive bonus silver. If you qualify, Gold Co. will match your investment with unlimited bonus silver. And I love no taxes or penalties. It's so great. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Join thousands of people who have called Gold Co. the number one rated gold company. And you can get that free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit and qualify for and get unlimited bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did the Chinese spy scandal hurt your credibility, or did Republicans just weaponize like a nothing burger, so to speak?
You know, the fact that the FBI and the House Ethics Committee said it was bull.
What is he wearing?
Like, I would hope that would be enough, but like in a disinformation society, like, I recognize that it's everyone on the right's favorite meme. My wife tells me all the time, you know what? The second they're not going after you, you're not affected. And so I wear it as a badge of honor that these guys would want to lie about me all the time.
You tell your wife that you wear it like a badge of honor that you banged a Chinese spy. I mean, okay. Is that supposed to be a flex? I don't know. What is he wearing that hat for? It's like watching somebody cosplay. It's like watching someone who's never cooked try to use, like, try to cut vegetables. You know, and you're like, ugh. Whenever I see people like Eric Swalwell dress what they think is like the everyman, I have the same, ugh, the same response. It's true, isn't it?
It looked like they pulled that hat out of the prize closet from the radio station that Charlemagne works for.
Exactly. That's Let's put this on. It makes you look normal. That's what they did. Eric Swalwell. It's a verbal typo and it stays. Hey, why is he so salty? I mean, you're in Congress. You're never, ever going to probably lose your seat because it's California. They don't care. They really don't care who represents them. I mean, I think that they would probably, you know, send to D.C. a crack addict's feces if they could and just, like, you know, representative fee. I'm sure they would. It's California. So, yeah, he says that he's proud that they make fun of him for being a Chinese spy. I guess that's his definition of patriotism. Ooh, speaking of California. So, let me go back to the story that I had. Here we go. I had this. This is also in your headlines. I'm trying to remember how I put it in the. I was trying to remember how I put it in the headlines for your radio prep today. Oh, the Navy is mulling over new names for ships that replace stupid names for ships named after people with no association to the Navy. So the Navy is going to rename the Harvey Milk ship. And here's how lefty sites write. Hegseth orders the Navy to strip name. He's not. They're renaming it. It is the. There was the office of the Secretary of the Navy, the official who holds the power to name the ships, showed that they had come up with rollout plans. They're renaming the oiler ship the USNS Harvey Milk. And you guys know Harvey Milk. He was basically he's a pedophile. He dated a 16-year-old boy. Harvey Milk also praised the Reverend Jim Jones. And in fact, in 1978, he wrote a letter to Jimmy Carter where he was defending Jones and he was opposing this custody fight between this guy and his wife. Timothy Stone was the he was trying to get his 6-year-old son, John, who apparently was living there in Jonestown. And Harvey Milk wrote a letter to Jimmy Carter opposing that custody effort. He wanted to keep John at Jonestown. And John was amongst the 900 or so people who were killed in murder-suicide there a year later. And this is what Harvey Milk wrote at the time. Quote, Reverend Jones is widely known in the minority community here and elsewhere as a man of the highest character, and he's undertaken constructive remedies for social problems, which have been amazing in their scope and effectiveness. He's also highly regarded amongst the church, labor, and civic leaders of a wide range of political persuasions. So he says that Timothy and Grace Stone, they're attempting to damage the Reverend's reputation. So anyway, just to let you know. And Harvey Milk, is he's got issues. I mean, he had issues. The 16-year-old was just amongst them. He preyed on Jack McKinley when Milk was 33 and McKinley was 16. I mean, there's a lot there. There's nobody had any business naming a ship after this twink. Nobody did. And so they're stripping him. They're stripping the ship of that name. Thankfully, golly, I'm shocked that the ship didn't sink or something like that. How is that not bad luck? So that was good news to hear that. They said that they confirmed it was making preparations, that it was brought on by Hegseth, and that the timing of the announcement during Pride Month was intentional. Good. And they're also going to target other ships. Why are you naming ships after people that had nothing to do with the military? Or, like, ships, right? It doesn't make any sense. So they had, like, the USNS Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Seriously? Come on. I don't know. So they're renaming them. Maybe we can have, like, some, you know, better names than some of these. I don't get it, but why were we doing that in the first place? What was the point of that? The left is so performative. Yes, as Kane said, yes, the left wants to tear down all the statues. Well, this is just, you know, we're returning the favor. That's all we're doing. We're returning the favor and restoring some dignity to these vessels. So that's good to see. I mean, yes, I know we could, you know, maybe I'd like to see the Pentagon, the DOD spend taxpayer dollars better, but you know, we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, couple of things. Oh, these researchers. Let me pull this up because this is what we were talking about during headlines. These Chinese nationals that were charged with smuggling agro-terrorism, an agent into the U.S. They said it was a direct threat. They were studying at the University of Michigan labs. The FBI director, Kash Patel, said that these two nationals, they were charged with smuggling a dangerous biological pathogen. They wanted to study it at the University of Michigan, KMC. Mm. And it, I mean, obviously, that's a serious threat. They said that, the CCP is continuing to deploy operatives and researchers to infiltrate institutions and target food supply. And then, I mean, it really could. I mean, there's a reason why customs is so crazy about, you know, food and animals and seeds and stuff. It was a fungus called Fusarium grammarium. I don't know. It's basically what's defined as a potential agro-terrorism weapon. And they said it causes head blight, a disease of wheat, barley, maize, and rice, and is responsible for billions of dollars in economic losses worldwide each year. And the toxins also cause vomiting, liver damage, and reproductive defects in humans and livestock. And the criminal complaint, one of the researchers, 33 years old, received Chinese government funding for her work on the pathogen in China. And that they describe her membership. You have to be in good standing in the CCP to be able to go back and forth like that. The other individual lied about smuggling it in. He brought it into the Detroit Metropolitan Airport. You know, because if you were all up on the above, you know, in the up and up, and you were going to bring in something like this and study it, yeah, you definitely smuggle it in and try to avoid border protection and customs. That's exactly what you do. You know, if you're on the up and up, that's the first thing you're going to do is sneak it into the country, right? It's asinine. Nobody believes that. So, yeah, I think they should be put to death. You committed an egregious violation of U.S. law. I think that we coddle these people. This is, another example of the CCP presenting a grave national security concern to the United States. I mean, tell me I'm wrong. I think death penalty for these two. Send their remains to China. I mean, why not? It's so dumb with this. How long has China been doing this? Can you imagine if something like that were to get... Yeah, they brought it in to study it. That's why they snuck it through and lied about sneaking it in and took great precautions to conceal it from Customs and Border Patrol. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a very harmful biological material. And so they... obviously are detained, and I guess we'll wait and see. They announced these charges yesterday. What did you say? We wonder why our bread is horrible here.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's not only the stuff that they spray on for pesticides and things like that, but how do we know this hasn't happened before? How do we know that none of this stuff is already in the country, already affecting our food supply? How do we know that?
Well, they discovered, so in 2024 of last year, one of them was turned away at the Detroit airport and sent back to China because he kept changing his story when he was being interrogated about red plant material that they found in his backpack. And he was lying about it. And he apparently was exchanging some pretty damaging messages with the partner there on his phone. But they said they found a scientific article on his phone titled Plant Pathogen Warfare Under Changing Climate Conditions. And neither of them could keep their story straight. And the other thing, too, is if you're going to claim that you are going to study a tightly controlled pathogen that's monitored by USDA and Homeland Defense and all this stuff because of the damage that it could do to crops, livestock, and humans, that you would lie and claim that you are going to study it at a university that has the federal permit to handle it. Because apparently, in order to handle this type of pathogen, to study it, you have to have several specific federal permits to handle it. And apparently, the University of Michigan does not. So not only did they hide it, but then they lied and said that they were going to go and study it at a university that doesn't have the actual physical capability to contain it, and nor the permits granted to it to actually handle it. So yeah, they're terrorists. They are. This was an act, a hostile act by the CCP. They should be put to death. I mean, and they were described as two aliens presenting the gravest national security concern, according to charging docs. But yeah, we don't have an extradition treaty with China. So I think one of them did. There was another one apparently that did get away, but he's not going to get arrested unless he comes back to the United States. So that's probably never going to happen. But yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. They're really bad spies. Think about this. For all the talk about the CCP being, you know, so, you know, I guess suave and so good at spying, this is really bad. This is like some JV stuff. Like you can't keep your story straight under interrogation. And then you can't even provide yourself with a good enough cover story and select a university that actually has the capability and the permittance to handle this stuff. I mean, that's just like, their spies suck. How are we getting duped by China? I mean, they sent a giant goofy bloop, bloop, bloop balloon over here. And we're like, oh, really? Like, how are we getting duped by them? I mean, it's like a third world nation. It is. Stop looking at the photos and the propaganda. Come on. This is, I don't know. I'm just shocked that anyone was even remotely fooled. And the fact that they had them in like little baggies in their backpack. I don't know how this pathogen is set to be contained, but Kane, baggies are not, you know, the gold standard for sealing off things.
No. Pathogens or anything. Yeah, you don't want to just put it in a Ziploc.
No, that's what they did. Not even kidding. Not even. I mean, I think they were in like, as I was looking at the photos, like a Ziploc, maybe in a Ziploc.
You mean like an old school sandwich bag they used?
Let me share. Yeah. Like legit, like a snack bag or something. It looks like a little snack bag. Those are the little baggies. They had little bitty baggies. And they had those in their backpacks. Like, how is that not all over you? Dude, that's not...
Nothing's contained in that.
No. Walking through the airports with that in their backpacks, you know, derp, derp. Just another day. Another day in China. My gosh. Well, no wonder they eat bats. Just saying. The Wu Flu, Caltex Gen 3 Sub 2K, which they rolled out with just a month ago. And it's another game changer from Caltech, which always makes really cool stuff. Incredibly neat stuff. Great quality. I mean, it's American parts, American labor, and everything is made right here in the U.S. of A. And it is the Sub 2K. This is the one that folds in half, which is awesome because it's like gun origami. You can just take it and fold it in half. It's awesome. Folding available in all these different calibers. Now even more versatile with the 10 millimeter chambering. Single twist and fold motion of that rotating fore end. That's what folds it in half. And it deploys just as quickly and easily, zeroed and ready to rock. Simple and reliable blowback design, so you have ease of maintenance and consistent performance. Internal buffer for softer recoil. Lighter 5-pound trigger pull. You have an integrated M-lock, and you got rails up top for accessories. Ideal for everything, and it's made right here in the U.S. of A. Learn more about KeltecWeapons.com. Innovation Performance, Keltec, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Press accelerate. Just press the gas pedal and go. I think if you're going to be stupid enough to stand in front of Chex Notes, a van, then you're probably going to Chex Notes. Get your A double snakes run over. Who does that stuff? Stop being stupid. Stop tempting Darwin's rule of natural selection. Jiminy Christmas. Shame on you. For what? Exercising the law? Shame on you for what? Stay out of the roads unless you want to get run over. That literally was my grandfather's words of advice. They all need to take it. If you don't want to get run over, here's a genius thought. Stay out the roads. Keep the roads off your feet instead of keep my name at your mouth. Keep my road. Keep the roads off your feet. How about that? Good night. And doing that, that's like battery and assault and probably a whole bunch of other stuff that's not going to get prosecuted because I'm sure it's in a blank hole city where they have a Soros prosecutor that's not going to do a singular damn thing, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, there you go. There it is. It's not, they're not going to do nothing. I just, you know, I think that we need to have greater penalties. I think there needs to be harsher penalties for businesses, too, that employ illegal labor. I really do. I think that there needs to be harsher penalties.
Well, we first need to start with enforcing the laws that actually exist and are on the book.
Because this isn't going to change unless you make it hurt for the people that enable it. And let's be real. There's a reason why that people are coming over the border. And yes, it's, you know, because you have people like Biden and Democrats that offer handouts. But also you have some businesses there, too. And boy, they pretend like they're Republicans all day long, along with some of those other Republicans in the Chamber of Commerce and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. But then when push comes to shove on issues like this, well, then the truth counts, right? That's how it is. So coming up in our second hour, we have a lot to hit. The latest on that bill. We got China. And then David Mamet's going to join us. I love David Mamet. He's a genius writer. We're going to talk with him. He's got a new book out. And also he went to war. Well, he had some harsh words for progressives. And I think with all the talk of toxic masculinity and Democrats, now they got the findings of their studies on dudes, by the way. We're going to share that coming up. I think Mamet culturally is a guy who really gets dudes. I mean, that's kind of what his writing is a lot of it's about. So we're going to talk about that and more coming up. Stick with us. Think about the last movie that you saw that inspired you and kept you thinking long after the credits rolled. Movies have the power to change individuals, communities, and culture. And that's why I'm telling you about Angel Studios. This is the studio that had the courage to bring the world the sound of freedom. So how can you be part of it? Well, you can join the Angel Guild. King of Kings, an animated story about the life of Jesus, is now streaming on the Angel app. And when you watch King of Kings, it's going to move you. It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it's unlike anything else that's out there. It opened first on April 11th and broke records and earned an A+ cinema score. So as a premium guild member, you can watch King of Kings and access fan-curated films and receive 2 free tickets to every theatrical release. And the best part is that you are part of deciding what stories get told next. Experience the power of King of Kings, a film that's moving hearts and inspiring faith. Visit angel.com/Dana to watch now and be part of this life-changing movement by becoming a guild member. That's angel.com/Dana.
And we all know one thing. Donald Trump is just lying about the bill. Lying about the bill.
Why is he bent over like a cocktail shrimp?
Here's the We Are All Going to Die Act.
What? I'm too tired for this. It's Wednesday. Weather's bad. Sinus problems. To just not dealing with Chuck Schumer. First off, he's bent over like a Warner Brothers character, like a vaudeville villain. Why? Number two, they spent money. That's taxpayer money that they spent to print that stupid little thing up. And number three, I think it's a trash bill, but it's not the We're Gonna Die Act. Only will Democrats spend not bleeding the public dry of their hard-earned dollars as death, like for them. This is so stupid. I mean, this is your guys' fault. You guys spent us all into oblivion. And you got some Republicans in Congress that they want to continue it. Good night. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. And we are at the top of the second hour here, getting into all of this stuff. There's two things that are happening. You have the rescissions package that POTUS is proposing, and it's a small, like $9-something billion rescissions package to get some things back from NPR and some of the other stuff. As you guys know, we talked about the Impoundment Act and all that yesterday. I don't want to get like so into the weeds that you guys just die. I don't want it to feel like a college class, but, my whole complaint about it is that it feels like that, and you're just simply trying to understand how your government is spending your money. And that is what angers me, that we have to go through all of this labyrinth of ridiculous political reasoning to arrive at a conclusion. And it's so incredibly frustrating. And I feel your frustration about all of it. But this, the rescissions package, I think I don't have an objection to the rescissions package. I don't have an objection to what we talked about yesterday with the pocket rescission strategy. My issue is with this big, beautiful bill and that not enough was done. I think that they really played it very, I'm not saying conservatively as an American political conservative. I mean, in terms of taking risks, they played it super conservative with this bill. And they fudged some CBO math. And I was talking to you last hour about how I don't appreciate this little Mott Bailey that they're doing, as though they're trying to ignore the fact. I feel like they're trying to dodge the question of tax cuts. Why are they not permanent? Because no, not all of them are. And I've written about it. I've highlighted the portions of the bill that stipulate such. And they keep arguing that, I think the only person that has brought this up, and I understand Rand Paul's remarks on this, he's talking about the additions to the deficit from this. And of course, it raises the debt ceiling, which I am completely against because it's just fiscally irresponsible. And it signals that they have no interest in really, and I'm tired of the phrase clawing back, they have really no interest to stop a lot of the spending. That's why they want to raise the debt ceiling. But this idea that the tax cuts are adding to the deficit, that's all, I don't believe tax cuts cost. It's the spending that's adding to it. And there's not a Republican that's saying that tax cuts are adding to the deficit. If anything, I've been seeing people ask, why are they not made permanent? Why are we calling an extension of a status quo that was established in 2017 and expires on January 1st? Why are we presenting that as an additional cut? Because that's what Republicans were doing in the first place. And now you've had to have some people come back like Russ Vought, say, well, you know, it's an extension. It's of what was in 2017, but not all of the 2017 tax cuts are still being made permanent. Only some of it is, not all of it is. And so you even have to be careful in how you present that, because to say universally that all of the 2017 tax cuts are being made permanent is not true. It's just not supported by the language of the bill, which I've read and I've highlighted over at my Substack chapter and verse, which is not behind a firewall. And you can read that post and I've shared it already. So I really feel like there's a lot of bait and switch here. Oh my gosh. And then the debt ceiling. And then you have this weird questionable thing with regards to states and regulating AI. But are we all going to die? No, we're not all going to die. That's what Democrats are telling you when they can't get more of your money. You're killing them. They're vampires. They need more of your money to survive. You're killing them. Ah, we're like the modern day fiscal Van Helsings, I guess. I don't know. It's just so asinine. I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of the drama and hyperbole from these people. But I mean, it's to be expected. I want to have one more. Let's see. This is so Audio Soundbite 2, Ron Johnson. So he's one of them speaking in favor of Elon Musk. And he's also one of them. He's really mad about the debt ceiling, if you want to know Ron Johnson's big thing. And by the way, yes, you can. There's ways to go about this without raising the debt ceiling. But this is what he says. Audio Soundbite 2.
Does what Elon said give you additional kind of help in your quest on this?
Yeah, it certainly bolsters our case. He was in the inside. He showed us with President Trump how to do this, you know, contract by contract, line by line. We have to do that forensic audit. We don't take the time. Again, we exempt most programs, focus on a couple, tweak them, get a CBO score. That's really out of context. I mean, the context is all about $22 trillion in expected deficit. And by the way, that counts about $4 trillion of tax increase, which I don't want to incur. But if we don't incur that, you got to make up for about $4 trillion in revenue.
Now, one of the things, by not reducing spending, you're giving Democrats the ability to say that tax cuts cost. I've been saying this since 2017, and I said Republicans are going to find, because Republicans didn't stop spending in 2017. They kept spending. And then they had tax cuts also. I don't believe tax cuts cost. They shouldn't, because it's your money. It's our money. But the way that Democrats put it is that, oh, well, they do cost. So we're going to have to raise them to offset the cuts that everybody has been getting, because heaven forbid they stop spending. And so, I mean, that does make sense. It makes all the sense in the world. So I don't know. I mean, the CBO, we talked about the CBO scoring yesterday. The rescissions package, like I said, I'm totally for the rescissions package. I'm for the pocket rescission. I'm for anything that allows us to cut back and cancel some of the funds here. But I'm telling you, it's this isn't the best that we could do. And I think that if we had a stronger speaker, we probably could have done more. But that's the way it is. I wanted to switch to talk about immigration here. Audio soundbite 9. Hakeem Jeffries, if you want to know why ICE has to wear masks, Hakeem Jeffries explains it right here. Listen.
Every single ICE agent who's engaged in this aggressive overreach and are trying to hide their identities from the American people will be unsuccessful in doing that. This is America. This is not the Soviet Union. We're not behind the Iron Curtain. This is not the 1930s. And every single one of them, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, will, of course, be identified. That, in fact, is the law.
Well, cartels have been threatening to kill their families. I don't know. I guess that's something that he's missed in all of this. They've been threatening to kill them, kill their families. And why are we targeting American citizens who are serving in Border Patrol as they are trying to detain and deport people who enter the country illegally that are not citizens? See, it doesn't make any sense. This is just so asinine. Just so asinine. Come on. So, I mean, who would want to do that job, honestly? Who would want to do that job at this point? I don't know at all. I think it's, they're mad because they're trying to do some pretty asymmetrical things in order to get people. And this is Audio Soundbite 8. They're utility workers. They're dressed up as utility workers with Tucson Electric Power. Watch this.
Suspected were immigration enforcement officers. They say not only were they in unmarked vehicles, but they were asking unusual questions and claimed that they worked with Tucson Electric Power.
Don't open the door. What do you mean? They don't have a warrant.
This video shows two men looking for the man inside the home, asking about a missed court date. But this neighbor jumped into action.
And I was like, no, don't open the door. And then they're like, this is ICE. And I said, yes, this is ICE. And
Christine Carino says the incident started when they asked her questions while watering her yard, saying they were with Tucson Electric Power. She says that's when they started walking toward her neighbor's home.
So the young boy, which is a stepson, allowed them to come in thinking they're from Tucson Electric Power.
And you're lying. You are not in a uniform.
But she quickly confronted the impersonators. Spokesperson with Tucson Electric Power told me their vehicles are always marked and they always identify themselves, which...
So wait, are they doing one of the whole... Well, that's illegal. It reminds me of that scene from Cops that I saw. And this was like some years ago. And two women were fighting in the street and one of them called the cops and the cops showed up and they were like, well, why y'all, you know, fighting? You can't be doing this. And she was like, well, she stole my crack rock. And the cops were like, you know that having crack is illegal, right? And she's like, yeah, but ain't stealing illegaler. And I about died. I came back to life, died again. I feel like this is the same, right? Like, oh, these ICE people, they're pretending to be utility workers to catch people who entered illegally, right? Yeah, but isn't this illegaler? It's like the same thing. It's the same thing. You can't. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. This is not how this operates. It's not how we operate this. We shouldn't be doing this. Listen to this. Audio Soundbite 7. The Colorado 8. Well, this is the. So the terrorist in Boulder, Colorado, who wanted to set Jewish people on fire. His family has been detained and they're going to be deported. I want you to listen to what the AG says about this. This is Audio Soundbite 7. Yes. Yes.
The important part about due process is if someone has a basis to stay here, they have a legitimate claim for asylum that they're threatened, that's going to get evaluated by a independent fact finder. And that's how our immigration system should work. It should work based on the facts, based on the law. It shouldn't be targeting people in ways that are haphazard, in ways that deny due process,
you mean like throwing fire
in ways
on
that
them?
Are based on fear, not based on facts.
You mean like just, throwing
are you
fire?
Saying this is haphazard or based on fear?
This guy's a doucher.
This is a procedure that's been used before, an expedited procedure. And the point is, They may have a claim for asylum. They may not. That'll get decided by the administrative process, and that's how it should
be. So Mohammed Soleiman, the guy who tried to set Jews on fire. Well, yeah, he wanted to do more than that. He wanted to carry out a full on, like, I think he wanted to massacre everyone that he could get to. He has a wife and 5 kids. Their visas have been revoked, according to court filings. They're being processed for expedited removal. Sorry, you got to go. We have the right. No shoes, no shirt. If you're a terrorist, no service. Get out. We can do that here in the United States because we can. Any questions? And so, I mean, that's kind of the downside of your dad being a murderer. And that's the downside of it. And apparently, I mean, he's also here illegally. I don't believe that the family's here illegally. If the dad was here illegally, his visa expired in February of 23. Summer is all about making great memories. Backyard barbecues, road trips, lake days, even just relaxing in a hammock with a good book. Spending time with friends and family, catching sunset views. But if you're living with pain, those future memories can be stolen from you. It's kind of hard to enjoy the simple moments when you're in pain. So here's a thought. Try Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement designed to help your body fight pain. It's a doctor-developed formula made with natural ingredients. And unlike pain meds that just mask it, Relief Factor works to reduce, even eliminate your pain for good. So whether you're spending time at the lake or chasing your kids or grandkids or just enjoying a summer stroll, Relief Factor can help you feel better, move better, and do more of what you love. Reclaim your summer. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF to get the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently it's a killdozer day. Did you know that? Happy Killdozer Day. If you're unfamiliar with Killdozer Day, this was a guy who was a repair shop owner. He had a modified bulldozer in Granbury, Colorado. This is in June 2004. And Marvin Hemeyer. And he didn't hurt anybody during his rage, except for himself, unfortunately. But he was upset because of he was a disgruntled resident because of a zoning dispute. And so he destroyed his store and like went on a rampage. And he had this bulldozer completely kitted out. There's no way you could get into it. This thing was reinforced 6 ways to Sunday. But he was known for the killdozer rampage. It was falling down, come to life. Yeah. It literally was. It absolutely was. Let's see. Also, I thought that was very important to share because it was June 4th. So Killdozer Day is the date. Unfortunately, his rampage ended and he committed suicide, which is sad. But let's see here. A couple of other things while I wait for all of this to reload because it's so ridiculously slow. Yeah, I know. It's Safari. What are you going to do? I can't. U.S. is apparently going to offer Iran a nuclear deal allowing temporary uranium enrichment. We'll follow up with more about that. An Emmanuel Macron waxwork was stolen from a Paris museum by Greenpeace activists. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but I'm all for waiting to find out. They stole. It's going to melt. Like, if it's warm over there, the thing is going to... Don't you have to keep those things in, like, a temperature-controlled room? Scientists were stunned as heat caught on camera bounced like sun. It was the first time apparently that it was ever captured. And they said that researchers at MIT used a new mapping technique to observe heat moving as a wave and bouncing back and forth. It's a wave-like manner and a phenomenon that they call second sound. And it's the first time that they were able to actually capture it. Walt Disney is going to live again as a robot. His granddaughter said he never wanted this. It's the saddest headline ever. They're going to try to make him a robot, and his granddaughter says it's freaky. And she said that he does not want this. He was just grandpa, and he does not want something like this. I would agree, actually. I'm going to go all the way back to here. Texas woman dies from brain-eating amoeba after using tainted RV water. I am really weird about water sources. Really weird. And she was using nasal... This is why you only use distilled water if you're going to do this stuff. She used... RV water that was tainted where she was, I guess, doing like a neti pot. And she had neurological symptoms days after. and it was brain-eating amoeba, and it killed her. It's horrible. Coming up, men, Democrats, and David Mamet. Stay with us. So let's be real. Medical freedom isn't just a catchphrase. It's your right. Your health decisions belong to you and not the government, not Big Pharma, and definitely not some unelected bureaucrat. So that's why I'm all in on what All Family Pharmacy is doing. They're putting medical power back where it belongs, and that's in the hands of you, Americans. Through the end of June, they're making it even easier to take back control, because when you control your health, you protect your family, your future, and your freedom. Get 20% off site-wide. No insurance, no problem. No insurance needed, and licensed doctors in all 50 states. You'll also receive fast shipping straight to your doorstep. This isn't just about convenience. It's also about freedom. You can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. You can get methylene blue, emergency kits, antibiotics, whatever you need to be prepared, proactive, and protected. So visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use promo code Dana20 to get 20% off your order. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, code Dana20. Don't wait for permission. Own your health and take your freedom seriously.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the bottom of this second hour, and you can listen coast to coast, terrestrially. You can also stream it, Channel 347 DirecTV. We're on Rumble, we're on X, we're on YouTube, Facebook, everywhere. One of the things that we've been talking about, and I always believe that, you know, obviously everything political stems from culture. And it's one of, I think, the best lessons that I learned from a very dear friend of mine, who is my one-time boss, the late Andrew Breitbart, who introduced me to the work, not the film work, but like the political thought work of my next guest. And I mean, just like a brand new world opened up. David Mamet doesn't really need an introduction. I mean, he is an American icon, and it's crazy because it's really very weird to actually talk to somebody who has such a great body of work and who I think redefined how movies talk, and is such a great writer of dialogue and character development. And I mean, the scene, the Chicago Away scene from The Untouchables is, I think, one of the standout scenes that really got me into that genre. And I've read almost everything that he's done. I think I've seen everything that he's done. He's just a living legend. And he's also like-minded, which is very weird. It's like finding a two-headed calf. He's like-minded. That doesn't happen very often. David Mamet now joins us via video. He's got a new book out, The Disenlightenment, Politics, Horror, and Entertainment, and also a new film that he did with Shia LaBeouf, Henry Johnson, which you can find on the website, henryjohnsonmovie.com, and he joins us now. David, it's such a pleasure to have you. I've always wanted to talk with you. Thanks so much for giving us some of your time. Congrats on the new film. Congrats on the book. And thank you for setting all of these knuckleheads straight about everything. I've watched a number of your interviews, and I mean, I've been hearing about it too from other viewers and members of our audience who are watching you, and they're like, he gets it. And people feel so encouraged that someone who does what you do understands their perspective. So thank you.
Thank you so much. You know, I was thinking about you today, and I know you like beats, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And I wanted to say that what's missing when we say the Judeo-Christian civilization is no longer applicable, what's missing is shame. You see a lot of things, people on the left, they're free to lie because they have no shame, and they have no shame before each other. They have no shame before God because they aren't grateful. So I wanted to tell you that the greatest aid to gratitude is beats. Do you know why?
Why?
Okay, I love beets. I know you love beets. You sell those super beets. So I was thinking, you know, you eat beets. I love them. Yum, yum, yum. You get up the next morning and you're peeing. And oh my God, you see, my urine is red. I'm pissing blood. So the first thing you think is, oh my God, so soon. Well, I guess that's the thing. Then you think, who's going to get my pocket knife collection? And then you think, I hope my wife doesn't marry a lawyer. If she does, well, shame on her. And then you remember that you ate beets and you say, my God, thank you. I'm not actually dying. I have another day. It's a gift. So I wanted to thank you for promoting the religiosity of the gratitude of beets.
It is my pleasure. And it's I think it's more pleasurable than asparagus. So you're welcome. You're welcome on that. I wanted to ask you, because I think that you get obviously, because, you know, you're a man. I mean, you get the psyche of men, and you get the psyche of male characters. And I think you better than anyone can kind of really see into that. And I bring this up because, as you know, and you've talked about this a little bit, Democrats are, you know, fellow Americans on the other side of the aisle. They actually spent $20-something million to study men, to try to figure out where they went wrong with men this last election. They're trying to understand what the disconnect is. What do you think the disconnect is with the left? I don't think they needed to spend that on it.
Well, you know, Schiller, that's not the philosopher, my oculist, he said, with stupidity, even the gods struggle in vain. That's the one thing I know that Schiller said. It's so true. If someone, you know, there's two phrases that everyone's using on the left now, double down and die on this hill. So it's all about doubling down. So if you're stupid, if you've done something stupid, as I certainly have, I try to do it, you know, as little as possible, but I do it again every day. Wisdom comes from being able to step back and saying, you know what, that was stupid. The problem with the left is that they've talked themselves into a corner, because if they say, if any of these absurd, blasphemous, horrendous, savage ideas that they've doubled down on, their life is over as far as they know it, because they're going to lose their spouse, they're going to lose their kids in their head, they're going to lose their job, they're going to lose their community. So they have to keep doubling down. And that's why, for example, as it becomes clearer and clearer that climate change is a hoax, they've doubled down on anti-Semitism. Because rather than saying, wait a second, let's stop, right? Let's go down to the kitchen table and see what's actually happening. They have to reinforce their stupidity to make sure they're all on the same page, because that's what happens in a totalitarian regime.
Yes, that's true. That's absolutely true. The phrase toxic masculinity, I think, had contributed a lot to that. This idea that men couldn't be men anymore, and that men, especially like some of the characters that you've written, that those men are somehow anachronistic with our times today, that they're out of vogue, that these men don't, there's no place in society for manly men anymore. But I don't see that. I don't see that. And I feel like do you think that the pendulum is swinging the other way? Because it seems like for so long, men have been under attack. They've been, I think, discredited, disenfranchised, however you want to put it. And now I feel like Democrats and the left, they sort of realize that they have played the wrong hand. Is that pendulum going to swing back? Are we going to have like a reset where things feel a little bit more, I don't know the best way to say it, normal? You do. Normal? Correct? How do you view that? Are we going to get back to the way that it was? Like the 80s and the 90s when things seemed saner?
Well, they were saner. We're in the midst of a huge cultural upheaval, and I think that it's largely formed, it's caused by a huge shift in technology. Just as the culture started to fall apart in the late 18th and early 19th century because of the Industrial Revolution, everything changed. So things have changed yet again now because of the computer revolution. Everything has changed. And we have, and in order to, so rather than saying, wait a second, what's changed? What can I do about it? Which Elon is saying, and Trump is saying, and the Republicans are saying, people are saying, no. Something is terribly wrong, but it's not that the culture has changed. It's very difficult to look at that. It's saying, you know what it is? Men are toxically masculine. People are born into the wrong sex. Jews are the devil, and the earth is burning. And P.S., any man who wants to compete in women's sports. So it's Chicken Little, whoever is screaming the loudest, because who is capable of stepping back and understanding the time in which he or she lives? The answer is nobody. And that's why we have laws.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because if not, we're going to resort to our feelings, and our feeling, absent laws and absent the idea that we can rely on the government, is panic. Look, for the first time in many years, I'm not walking around, and a lot of people aren't walking around saying, oh my God, if I say the wrong thing, someone's going to throw me in jail. So for the first time, certainly in the last 4 years, I and everybody on the right is saying, I believe in government. which is not to say so much that I believe in Trump, although it may, but saying I believe in law.
Right.
And I believe that the law is going to exist to protect the citizen.
Well, that's the nature of a republic, right? Everyone's equal before the law and underneath the law when they violate it. I mean, it's not a rejection of government so much as it's an embracing fair and equally apportioned government, I guess, for the lack of a better way to say it. I mean, I think that makes sense. I know that you're a fan of POTUS, and you identify basically as a conservative is what I read, which, you know, you like to conserve the individual, which I think is the best way to put it. That's how I've always viewed it. How do you view conservatism in modern times now? I mean, it feels like it's the common sense place to be. It's like not the common sense party, but it's like the common sense ideology. And it seems like people who have never really maybe identified as that before, maybe they were classical liberals, maybe they thought they were kind of more moderate progressives. Now they think this is so much common sense due to so much of what you said. So now they're embracing the word conservative, conserving common sense, conserving individualism.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it says in the Talmud, where there is no bread, there is no law, and where there is no law, there is no bread. So the question of conservatism, constitutional conservatives, is not what is the right thing to do. Because a lot of times we don't look, because we all have passions, yeah. Right? We want to belong, we want to feel good about ourselves. And so this idea of classical liberalism, what is the right thing to do? The idea of social justice, which has to mean injustice. Right? Because it's based on a feeling. The correct question is not what is the right thing to do, but the correct question is what is the law? Now, can the law be wrong? Sure. We have a law which enables us to change that. Additionally, that, again, as my people, the Jews say, the prophet Micah says, what are you supposed to do? Do justice, love mercy, and be humble before God. So that's the correct answer to me, and as conservatism, absolutely do justice, but you got to love mercy too,
yeah.
Right? But they're two different verbs, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, exactly, and they're not entirely mutually exclusive either. I think we're talking to David Mamet.
Not at all.
Yeah, exactly. Talking to David Mamet, legendary screenwriter, author. He's got a new film out as well, Henry Johnson, with Shia LaBeouf, and you can see it at henryjohnsonmovie.com. You mentioned too anti-Semitism. This is an insane thing here. It's 2025. And I honestly, I hear from my kids. I have a son in college, and he says that he's noticed an increase in anti-Semitism with his generation. That, talk to me a little bit about that, because again, it's 2025. I don't know if we're just so far removed from the greatest generation that we're like forgetting the horror. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around why this is, like, we had a guy who tried to set people on fire in Boulder. And then there was, there's like been at least like three, I think, attacks. There was a couple that was shot at in DC. What are your thoughts on this? And why, how are we in this? How is this happening in 2025?
What's happening for a bunch of reasons. One is that my people, the Jews, have not had a state for 2,000 years. We've been at the best guests and at the worst slaves, and always at the mercy of whatever country we were living in, because we were never actually citizens. So we got into the habit of keeping our head down and saying, I can put up with it. Eventually they're going to kill some of us, blah, blah, blah. Finally, the state of Israel comes along with some people, say, you know, that's enough. We have to have our own state. As Theodore Herzl said when he was looking at Dreyfus, who was being maligned as a traitor in France in 1895, he was a Jewish officer. And Herzl was a very famous and successful Austrian playwright and assimilated Jew. And he went to see Dreyfus being disgraced for a false accusation of treason. But the people weren't yelling death to the traitor, they were yelling death to the Jews. And Herzl sat down, he said, oh my God, they're going to kill us all. We need our own country, right? And by the grace of God, 50 years later, we have our own country. But a lot of the world still doesn't. It's the go-to thing. As a guy loses his job, he comes home and he beats his wife, okay? She says, if you do that again, I'm going to leave. He comes back again, he beats her again. She goes to the cops. The cops say, wait a second, be a good wife. This doesn't happen anymore, but that's a traditional, unfortunate outbreak of people who are defenseless. So to say to the Jew, to say of the Jews, what are you doing to bring it about? It's the same thing as saying of the wife, well, what was the expression on your face when your husband came home? Now, the reason anti-Semitism is breaking out again is for two reasons. One is that the society is reinventing itself because of this. The computers upended everything, how we date, you know, whom we marry, how we work, how we talk to each other, what we see, where we get our news. It upsets everything. So people are upset. So what are they going to do? Just like the guy who comes home and he kicks his wife, he is going to go to the most proximate permitted victim, which has for 2,000 years been the Jews. There's a second thing, and I think that we understand that when we look at Greta Thunberg, right? Mm-hmm. Here's a little girl, God bless her, you know, she's a professional truant. She says, the earth is burning, run for your life. The earth is burning, run for your life. Okay, give her the Nobel Peace Prize, you know, and pat her on the back and put her on the cover of Time magazine. Now, it turns out that the left gets tired of this fiction. And it turns out the earth is not burning and the polar ice caps are increasing. So now what? What does Greta Thunberg do?
She gets
on a ship to go to Gaza.
Yep.
What in the hell does this little girl who's never gone to school in her life, God bless her, all of a sudden, in addition to knowing about the earth is burning, she knows about what's happening in Israel. She just ran out of steam, so she cross-decked herself. So that's what's happening to a lot. Those are the two things that lead to anti-Semitism. It's a proximate victim, and the left is always moving from one horror to the next. It's COVID. It's the Y2K thing. It's Islamophobia. It's the earth is burning. And now it's the Jews. Okay, what's new?
Huh? Exactly. I mean, I think that's it entirely. I wish that we had more time because I feel like it's like drinking from a fire hose. And I love the points that you make. And I think that you're such a great mind, especially in not just conservative ideology, but political ideology. The new book is The Disenlightenment. The Secret Knowledge was the first book of yours that I read. And then I went back out of order and read all your other ones. But Andrew Breitbart gave me that book. And that's how I was introduced to all of your conservative thought, was that The Secret Knowledge. David Mamet and the new film, Henry Johnson, with Shia LaBeouf, henryjohnsonmovie.com. You can go get it, watch it right on the site. David, it's such a pleasure. I would love to have you back. I'd love to talk with you for a longer period and do like a sit down. I think that you just have so much to say and I'm all here for it. So thank you so much for your time. You've been so generous today.
So anytime at all, it's a real pleasure talking to you, Dana.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much. God bless. David Mamet, everyone. And make sure you go see the new film, Henry Johnson, and get the new book, which is fabulous, by the way. We have more in store as we wrap up this second hour. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Hey, folks. So I want to share something important that every American should be aware of. We're seeing a lot of economic uncertainty right now. You have the national debt rising, global trade tensions impacting markets, and tariffs with higher prices on the stuff that everybody uses every day. It's not about panic, it's about preparation. So this is why I partnered with GoldCo, the top-rated precious metals company, to help you take a step towards protecting your financial future. Smart investors look to hard assets like gold and silver to help weather the storm. It's a strategy that's been used for generations. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit that breaks it all down for you. And if you qualify, you could receive unlimited bonus silver, real silver, matched to your account with no taxes or penalties. It's a smart move that could help you feel more secure with what lies ahead. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to get started. That's DanaLikesGold.com and move forward with confidence.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so everything about this story is nuts, including the guy's mugshot. Is it a teardrop?
I think so.
Does that mean he killed a man in prison?
I think so.
Wait. Does the teardrop mean you killed someone in prison or just killed somebody?
I think it's just killed somebody, period.
Okay. I didn't know. Okay. So yeah. A Florida man. Okay. All of this happening at once. A Florida man was busted for snacking on unpaid blueberries and also carrying 11 grams of fentanyl. And he's got the tear tattoo. Okay. Is it illegal if you're okay? If you're in the fentanyl, totally illegal. Yeah. Well, yes, we agree. But if you're in a grocery store and you're getting blueberries and you're going to pay for them, if you wanted to snack on some, can you?
Yeah, but we're assuming that he had the package and was walking towards the damn checkout.
Well, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, you know.
Do you?
I don't know. Well,
you see,
if I didn't know
there?
About the fentanyl, you know.
I would imagine it's like he walked by the produce section, grabbed a handful of blueberries, ate them while he's walking towards, you know, the clothing section.
Because he's getting charged because he didn't pay. And apparently also for the fentanyl, because he had 11 grams of fentanyl. And apparently that's trafficking amounts. So that's a big bad thing. But I'm just asking about the blueberries for all the rest of us. You know, that's what I wanted to know. It's short, went long last segment, but it was worth it. Third hour on the way. Hey, folks. So I want to share something important that every American should be aware of. We're seeing a lot of economic uncertainty right now. You have the national debt rising, global trade tensions impacting markets, and tariffs with higher prices on the stuff that everybody uses every day. It's not about panic. It's about preparation. So this is why I partnered with Goldco, the top-rated precious metals company, to help you take a step towards protecting your financial future. Smart investors look to hard assets like gold and silver to help weather the storm. It's a strategy that's been used for generations. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit that breaks it all down for you. And if you qualify, you could receive unlimited bonus silver, real silver, matched to your account with no taxes or penalties. It's a smart move that could help you feel more secure with what lies ahead. Visit danalikesgold.com to get started. That's danalikesgold.com and move forward with confidence.
Come to the table. Let's look at the numbers. If I'm wrong, prove that I'm wrong. But let's do it with respect, but mainly respect for our children and grandchildren. This is immoral, what us old farts are doing to our young people. This is grotesque what we're doing. We need to own up to that. This is our moment. I can't accept this scenario. I can't accept it, so I won't vote for it unless we are serious about fixing it.
So that's Senator Ron Johnson, who is very critical of that bill, and which is one of the ongoing things that we're talking about. Not to drag you in the weeds, but this is your money. I mean, I want you guys to realize that, you know, it may seem like I keep going back. Well, you know, I'm always going to revisit it every hour, but focusing a lot on this, but that's because it's literally going to determine how much you are paying in taxes, how much you have for child, like the tax deductions, business deduct. I mean, I could go on and on. It affects all of that stuff. And my two biggest criticisms of it, obviously, are the raising of the debt ceiling, but then also that these cuts are temporary. And we're going to play this Russ Vaught audio here in a minute, because I feel like, you know, he talks about a gimmick that is, you know, that they're using as like a budgetary trick. But it's also the gimmick, too, to cap tax cuts at 20 for 4 years. So capping them at 4 years and then ending them in 2028 so that you can adjust. You can tweak the CBO score a little bit, because what I tell you, the CBO, Congressional Budgetary Office, is going to compute exactly what you give it. It's chaotic neutral. It's going to compute, spit out whatever you feed it. It's like AI, right? You can train AI. You can prompt it to kind of give you something and have it stained with a certain ideological bent or whatever. It's only going to tabulate exactly what you give it, and it's not going to look into the whys. And that's kind of important. That's important context to have. So first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour. So this was Russ Vaught who was talking about this. And he was saying that it doesn't hurt the debt. It doesn't increase it. You're raising the debt ceiling. I disagree with him on this. I don't dislike Russ Vaught. I just think he's trying to sell it. This is his remarks on this. Listen.
This bill doesn't increase the deficit or hurt the debt. In fact, it lowers it by $1.4 trillion. What some of the watchdogs have done is they have used CBO's artificial baseline, which doesn't allow and assume that current tax law will be extended because of sunsets that are in the law. They don't do that with spending. It is totally something that would be foreign to any common sense person who comes and looks at how we budget in this country. And so when you assume the extension of the president's tax relief from 2017, this budget or this bill, and it's really a reconciliation bill. It's not really a budget bill. It is using a budget process. This is a $1.4 trillion over 10 years deficit reduction. It's $1.6 trillion in mandatory savings. Obviously, we have a little bit of spending in there as well for border and defense.
A little bit.
But that is the biggest mandatory savings package that we have seen since the 1997. It's very historic.
So him talking about a reduction of the deficit, I mean, what you're, he's saying that it's a gimmick and that it doesn't use a realistic policy baseline. Now, just so you know, I mean, the CBO is never, again, it always, remember, keep in context that it spits back whatever you feed it. They've never estimated growth accurately ever. No, not ever. I don't think so. I'm like going back, not with Obamacare, not with the Bush tax cuts, not with literally nothing. There's actually nothing that they've, that it's it, because everybody always, they always fake it. They always, again, the bias is how it's presented to the CBO, not what the CBO, what it tabulates. Does that make sense? I mean, I think that's the best way to compare it, Kane, right, to AI. Like, however you train AI, that's what the CBO. So it's like a, it's.
Yeah, kind of. You're right.
And the reason I bring that up is because a lot of people are like, well, the CBO says this. Yeah, or the like, it's some kind of major authority.
You're right. It's data in, data out.
Exactly. And there's no context like, well, why? Like, so for instance, with this bill, and I, to double check myself, because I don't trust AI at all. Sorry, I don't. It's going to kill us. Roomba's going to eat my hair. You know, AI is going to come in our house, kill us as we sleep. So I don't messes with the AI, okay? But one of the, I did check with members of Congress, and not like in an accusatory way. I'm like, hey, I want you to double check me on this. Is this correct? You know, what I'm asserting here. Because my whole point has been, yes, the debt ceiling, but not all of these tax cuts are permanent. And so as a way to make it look like, and I'm going to say the cost, even though I think that's a stupid way to define it, but that's how it's being defined by the media and even both parties, the cost of the bill to get it under a certain level, what they did is they capped the tax cuts at 4 years. So, and I'm pulling up, bear with me, because I have this, again, it's all, I have it all in Slack. I wrote all of this out in Substack, on my Substack over at Chapter and Verse. And it's all linked and you can go deep dive into it. But my whole point in this is that they capped the tax cuts at a certain level so that they could get it in under a certain cost, because what the way that it works is they will view that as a cost in addition to government spending. It doesn't really differentiate. It just looks at money in, money coming in, money coming out. Even though we all know that tax cuts, that's not what costs, it's government spending. But the baseline, I mean, for not using, I think what he said was what, a realistic policy baseline or however he put it. The CBO was saying that they were going, it can add trillions to the deficit over a decade. And it, the problem is that what Congress fed it kind of contradicts what Vought is saying here. And it's not the CBO saying it. Again, it's the data in, data out. The savings that they're arguing, that's kind of a gimmick, because they do budgetary tricks to cap stuff and sunset it, you know, in 27 or 28 or whatever, in order to make it seem like this is actually costing less or adding less to the deficit. The bottom line is that the debt's going to grow. And that's what Massey and Rand Paul are replying to. They're not looking at like CBO stuff. They know how this stuff works. I mean, for crying out loud, Thomas Massey, God love him, I don't say this to be mean, he is honestly the biggest nerd I've ever met in my life. And I met some nerds. And he's real sweet, real nice, super smart. And again, that's not a pejorative. I think it's a very flattering term. He is a nerd. I mean, this guy is like an MIT guy. He's super smart. He probably has like a 10.0 GPA, I'm sure. I mean, this was the guy who himself was making those little debt tracker buttons and handing them out to people. And he's very obsessed. He's very fiscal. He's a fiscal hawk, and Rand Paul is as well. They're not going off of the little gimmicks here and there. They're going off the real actual baseline, and they're not the only ones. And I think a lot, there are too many people that in Congress that don't know this stuff. I think that you have a lot of people in Congress that get in and they rely on their staff to do it. And I say that because I know for a fact that there are members of Congress that there's they're good at fundraising and getting headlines, but they let their staff do most of the work. That's true. And they I don't think that they really get a lot of it. And that's what Paul and Massey are reacting to, and that's what some of these other lawmakers are reacting to. But it's that's kind of the stickler for me. Now you got to separate that budget from the rescissions. Rescissions, I don't have an issue with, although I think we could probably go for a lot more. However, I want to go for a lot more. But what does that reality look like in the House? Because think about it, they're already struggling with just this. Think about how much we're complaining about this. It's not a win for us, and yet it's already so hard for them to get this across the line, party line votes. It's because they don't have the wherewithal to do it. And it's not even really Democrats so much. It's a lot of Republicans. There are a lot of Republicans that spend as much, if not more, than Democrats. I mean, that's not a lot, but there are some. And Kane, you know that. I mean, there's some big spenders that are there. So, we're going to talk a little bit more about this here coming up, because there's one portion of the bill we've talked about that gets into AI and state sovereignty as it pertains to regulating AI. And I get a little weird about it. I get a little weird about some of that, because I feel, while on one hand, I understand that, would it create a mess if states were all dealing with AI differently? Do you think it would, Kane? Would it create this like major spider web mess if every state is dealing with the regulation of AI differently? Do you think that's why they were trying to say for 10 years states can't do it?
I think that they're probably trying to make government more efficient by using AI. And so what they don't want to do is have states regulate it so that it affects how federally they have the relationship with the states. So I think that's part of it. I don't really know the underlying motivation, because it might be more nefarious than that, because on the surface, it kind of looks like it.
I know. Yeah, it's something else. So we're like I said, we're going to dive more a little bit deeper into that here coming up. I also, let me pull everything up. We also have to get into this issue. Hold up, where's this at? We were talking about the dudes. Can we get into, I have a handful of things here. Bear with me, because I'm pulling it up right now. I had a couple things. First and foremost, this is the right link. I'm thinking it is. Yeah. Ooh. So this is GOP stuff. So in Texas, some of the initial polling coming out from Paxton and Cornyn is that Cornyn is trailing Paxton by 22 points. I had a text conversation with an operative friend who does a lot of stuff in Austin, Texas. And they were saying that, yeah, Cornyn is in a tough spot. And also apparently Paxton is scooping up a lot of some of these big dollar donors that Cornyn used to rely on. And I don't think that my friend was saying that they don't think that Cornyn's people correctly anticipated just how much Paxton would peel off of his support and donors. So that's a big thing. There's this big fight over the donors. In fact, it was the Senate Leadership Fund that was the one of the PACs that was backing Cornyn. They had their own survey, and this was from April 27th to May 1st. So he was down 16 points in their survey. This newest survey shows Cornyn, and this is an independent poll. This came out literally just the other day, that shows him down 22. And these are, because the first one particularly was Republican, you know, they're going to want to really know the lay of the land. Bottom line is that Cornyn, even within the margin of error for both of these surveys, he is double digits behind Paxton right now. And that's pretty crazy. Only 27% of those surveyed wanted to see him reelected. 54% wanted somebody new. How long do you think Cornyn has been in office?
I'd say 12.
He was first in office in 2002.
Oh, my gosh. So 23 years?
Yeah. Wow. That's a long time. A long time. Now, some Cornyn said that the reason why Paxton looked like he was leading is he said, and I quote, primarily name identification. But then the entity that the independent entity that was doing the survey, only 7% of them hadn't heard of Cornyn. Oh, gosh.
Not it, Ben, is it?
Oh, man, dude, his campaign is ill-equipped to deal with us. They're ill-equipped to deal with us. We got more on the way. We got headlines coming up as we move. Our partners that help bring you the program, the folks over at Byrna Gun. Now, I always believe in caring, and I have no problem using lethal force to defend the life of my life or the life of my loved ones. That said, I also realize that there are some realities that we have to live with. Municipal restrictions, private property restrictions, and, you know, you might have college kids that are too young to carry a handgun, but they're living on their own, far away from home, and they want to be able to protect themselves if they're walking to their car or walking to their dorm or walking to the wherever they're staying at when they're on campus. And so this is where Byrna Gun comes in. They have different types. They have rifles. They have, pistols. But for this purpose of self-defense, I think the SD and particularly their new CL, which is their compact launcher, and it's almost 40% smaller than their top-selling model, the SD, also proudly made in the United States. I think these are what you need to look at. Now, if you're curious as to what they are, the Byrna Gun shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Regular stun guns have like one or two shots, where you got five with this. And you have different projectiles, you've got different accessories. But here's the big thing. There's no background checks. There's no waiting period. It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. It's legal in all 50 states. It can be shipped directly to your front door. It's accessible for everyone. And this is what it's about, giving yourself a line of defense. Even when you have municipal and private property restrictions that want to make you defenseless. So visit Byrna.com/Dana. Check it out. The SD and then the CL. The CL is the smaller version of the SD. Byrna.com/Dana. And make sure you check them out. And look at all the accessories and the projectiles and, you know, everything. Byrna.com/Dana. Byrna, ready when you are.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, apparently LA sound stages are dead.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, like I've never been, but like you could go to like the Warner Brothers lots or Paramount lots or something like that. But now apparently all these LA facilities have seen just a major plunge in production. So they're like, it's like the malls. They said how the malls are empty, so are these sound stages. They said that, I mean, it's bleak. Average stage occupancy plunged to 63%. This is even after COVID and strikes. Insanity. And they're trying to say, let me go down. There's a new Steven Spielberg film that's set to recapture the excitement of E.T. Close Encounters, and it's planned for 2026. It better be about alien Sasquatch. I don't know. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. BBB, Representative McCormick next. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And Patriot Mobile, they want to make sure that, you know, you want to be mindful with your money. They're mindful with the money that people send them for service. And so they're not going to put money behind things that you don't believe in or vote against at the ballot box, while also providing you with exceptional nationwide coverage. They operate on all three major networks, so you get to stay connected wherever you go. And when you switch, you're working with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're dedicated to making your switch easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, upgrade. It's never been easier to switch, and the choice is entirely yours. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code Dana. Switch today and defend freedom with every call and text you make. Get that free month of service using promo code Dana only at patriotmobile.com/Dana or by calling 972-PATRIOT.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour, and you can listen coast to coast on one of the markets terrestrially. We also have the stream, Channel 347 DirecTV, Rumble, and Facebook, and X, and I don't know. We're everywhere. We're everywhere watching you. So it's good to be back with you. We've been talking about rescissions, pocket rescissions, the big, beautiful bill. And one aspect of it that seemed to sort of kind of slip under the radar, we were talking about it a couple weeks ago. And it has to do with the regulation of AI. So on like part of this, in this bill, there is a centralization of control of AI at the federal level, integrating AI into all of these, you know, federal agencies, et cetera. But it bars, from the way the bill reads currently, states themselves from regulating AI. And I'm trying to figure out why that is. Is that a thing that's supposed to be beneficial? Is it a thing that's not? And the reason I'm questioning whether or not it's beneficial is because for the past, you know, several years, our state AGs have really led the fight with a lot of the stuff against the Biden-Harris administration. And I'm just worried about how that would tie their hands if, you know, because, you know, Trump's out of office in 28. What happens after that? This is a 10-year thing. What does that mean? So joining us to discuss this, he's got a little bit of expertise in this area. It is a very good friend of ours, Congressman Rich McCormick. He serves Georgia's 7th Congressional District, and he's on a number of different committees, including the Cyber Information Technologies and Innovation Subcommittee. So he's kind of an expert on this issue, and we're going to talk to him about the other stuff related to it as well. Representative McCormick, so good to see you. Thank you for joining us. I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts about this provision or this part of this bill? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? I'm just worried about tying up our state's ability to regulate this themselves. Or is this a concern about the uniformity of the way that AI would be regulated? How do you interpret this?
First of all, great to be on your show. Big fan, obviously. I'm really, you know, you're in trouble when you turn to a Marine to ask about intelligence. But I've been reading up on this, talking to the experts about this. Literally, if you think about the most transformative technology in our lifetime, AI is it. And when you talk about interstate commerce and actually even international commerce, look no further than something that's going to be affected by every law we make. Now, I get it. I'm a states' rights guy. I totally want to see state rights dominate any sort of federal legislation. But except for in this case, like when you talk about commerce, when you talk about, for example, the internet, when it first came along, if we would have regulated state by state, it would have totally inhibited it from being what it is today. Same thing with AI. Once you get a bunch of states with different legislative efforts, it would cross-contaminate the whole process of international trade, of interstate trade, of its ability to actually transform and progress. We'd become non-competitive with China, most of all, not to mention Russia and Iran and other countries that are trying to develop AI at a rapid pace also. Whenever you become non-uniform, it slows the process down. This is something that if we fall behind on, you got to realize 50% of all AI engineering happens in China right now for the entire world. If we fall behind on this, we're in trouble. This will transform the landscape of economics and digital economy, as well as, don't forget, we're also competing with India. This would just really inhibit our process. It's not going to be, if it's dangerous, we can do things at the federal level to help with that. And I think we've shown great bipartisanship in this one area because we understand its dangers and also its ability to transform the future.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, too, because I think it's maybe the only singular area where Democrats and Republicans are like, we don't want Skynet. Let's not have Skynet come. And we don't want to do that. And I think it's a good point, too, because if it's about making things more efficient, which it seems like that's one of the reasons why they want to incorporate it at the federal level. But what is with the 10-year period? Is that just how much time they think that they're going to need for uniformity?
I think once you get to 10 years, everybody's going to see the advantages of having no interstate interference, just like the internet. Nobody talks about it anymore on the internet. Because why? Because it's already fully developed and we kind of do our own thing. whether it be 5G or cable, or whatever, we understand that whatever advances us quicker wins. And I think once you get past the 10-year period, people will accept that we don't need additional regulation. We have to have certain laws, make sure we don't have deep fakes or distort the truth, things like that. But I think we can universally agree on those truths. And we just faced this down in Georgia. As a matter of fact, one of my state senators took my advice and he said, we cannot pass legislation that's going to make us non-competitive against other states or decrease our competitiveness internationally. And I think it's a good thing. I think within 10 years, people will be like, this is the norm and we haven't seen really bad things. And if we do, we can react as a federal government.
That was an important point that you just mentioned too, like deep fakes and things like that. So for those, because I think of like intellectual property and all that stuff. So for those existing like rights or legal concerns, it doesn't necessarily negate that simply because it's not at a state level and it's at the federal level.
Yeah. And the one problem we always have is how fast we're going to move at the federal level.
Yeah.
That's always a problem and I get it. But I think we universally as a people understand what's bad and what's good when it comes to the internet, when it comes to AI, and how it affects us. Nobody wants to see people deceived. And I remember when I was talking about climate change and I started referencing statistics, then all of a sudden disappeared off the internet because it supported my claims rather than my opponent's claims. That always concerns me. We want to make sure that people have access to the truth, to science, to peer-reviewed science specifically. So those are the kind of things we want to make sure that we regulate so that we're not deceived as a public, so we can have legitimate conversations and debate without it being a biased debate controlled by the government. That would be bad. And that's one thing that concerns me. And we need to put guardrails on.
And I know if this comes back to the House, if it's not taken out in the Senate, if the Senate doesn't strip it out, I mean, I think what you can only afford to lose in the House, 3 votes. And I know that there's already one. I know Marjorie Taylor Greene has said that she's not going to support it if it's included in there. I don't know how she didn't catch it the first time. I mean, she was tweeting about the budget a couple of weeks ago when this thing was in there when everybody else was tweeting about it. That would have been the time to maybe act and try to fight it out of there if you didn't want it in there. Are you worried about, is that a big enough thing to disrupt that and to cost those 3 votes, you think, if it goes back to the House still within it?
Well, I hope that President Trump is paying attention. I think Elon is one of his advocates and they get along with. Oh, but AI and tech people bend his ear all the time, and hopefully he can put leverage. I know that Marjorie is very sensitive to the president, and if the president says he wants it in there, it's going to remain in there. But I think it's good for our country. Without that provision, we become non-competitive, and I don't think that's good for anybody. So I'm not really sure what her objections are, other than maybe a states' rights issue. But like I said, I'm as big a states' rights issue as anybody. But in this case, it would actually hurt all states, including the United States, moving forward.
And that's a huge point that I actually have not heard made in defense of it being in the bill the way that it is. The fact that China would, and you know, India's kind of, we have a weird sort of ally-ish relationship with India. I prefer them over China, obviously. But to have China lead on AI and development, I mean, just, you know, if you could just, you know, awaken people a little bit to the catastrophic consequence of something like that occurring.
There's nothing more transformative in the world society, in economics, in our ability to achieve great things into the future. If we're not leading the way in AI, we will not lead the way in economy, in military, in everything that's important to us, healthcare, you name it. Why would we ever put ourselves at a disadvantage against China on something that's easy to avoid, which has no real clear benefits of doing it any other way other than to centralize this ability to free us up from overregulating?
Yeah.
And you talk about regulation. Regulation is the absolute bane of our existence as conservatives. Why would any conservative want 50 different states with 50 different rules that inhibit us through regulation or taxation and make us non-competitive? That doesn't make sense to me as a conservative.
Yeah, the taxation part, that's another aspect of, I didn't think of. We're talking with Congressman Rich McCormick out of Georgia. So this, I know we have the rescissions, we have pocket rescissions possibly, and then the one big beautiful bill. The rescissions package that's been proposed so far, I mean, it's only $9-something billion, and only in D.C. can you talk about that like that's a tiny amount. I know that sounds crazy to say. A lot under what Doge was recommending to save for the year. I think theirs was $170 billion. But in the rescissions package thus far, I don't see anything other than the amount. I don't really see anything objectionable. Do you think that that's, how do you think Congress is going to handle the rescissions package? Does that seem like something, that request from POTUS that you're going to grant?
Yeah, I saw a lot of liberals, moderates, at a meeting today with Dan Bishop. And they didn't really seem to object to the things that were saving. They're non-controversial issues. It's the tip of the iceberg, though. $9 billion is nothing. When we consider we're going to increase our spending, our deficit spending, by $416 billion next year, that's not a responsible bill. I know people are getting on Elon for trashing this bill. And I know I kind of voted for it with my nose held because I understand it's not a good bill for containing our debt and deficit. But it's the best thing we can get past this time. I'm hoping the Senate will do their part, give it back to us as a more responsible, and then decisions can make it even better. But if we don't do something, you can see the future is not bright for our debt.
Yeah. And the debt ceiling and then the tax cuts, because I know that there's been a lot with Russ Vought, and I know Stephen Miller and other people have been debating it. I think those have been some of my biggest issues, is the debt ceiling being raised, because that indicates to me that some of the moderate Republicans have no plans whatsoever to cease spending. But not all the tax cuts are permanent, like the no tax on tips. I feel like, you know, maybe the administration needs to be a little bit more transparent, because all that stuff sunsets in 2028. And Congressman, I don't have to tell you how tough it can be going into an election year, and you're trying to deliver on tax cuts when your opposing party tries to talk to everybody and act like they cost. That's going to be a little bit of a hard sell, and I don't know if that's going to be something that can be kind of clawed back or accomplished before 28 when it sunsets.
Yeah, not a good timing for us. I think that the promises, first of all, in a 10-year budget are silly. I don't even know why we have a 10-year budget. That's once you get to point. 4 years and all of a sudden it becomes neutral, deficit neutral, that's two Congresses and a president from now. Let's talk about this Congress. That's about the only thing we control, and realistically. But when you talk about things that sunset, yeah, if it's a good idea, don't make it sunset. Yeah. I know it's about CBO scoring and parlor tricks. And they say, oh, then that tax break goes away. And look, now it's deficit neutral. Well, that's assuming we even have the growth. At that point, we could actually go into a more negative decline when you increase taxes and the economy slows. If it's a good idea, do it. Stop trying to worry about perceptions, worry about realities, and explain to the public. Take the time to actually explain why it's good. We all know that that 21% corporate tax rate seems to be the sweet spot on the Laffer curve. Mm-hmm. If you increase that, you actually decrease productivity, you decrease the number of jobs, you decrease the amount of revenue. Anything lower than that, you don't bring in the revenue to begin with. So we kind of find that we found that sweet spot. We should stick with it, make it permanent, and see how we do. And I think we've shown that it works well for us.
Well, we're going to watch and see what the Senate hands back to you all and see what's kept in and what isn't. But, you know, that's if we're all still alive, because, you know, Senator Chuck Schumer, Representative McCormick, said we're all going to die. And I was already dead because of net neutrality. So I don't know what he's talking about.
I thought I was Dr. Doom. When he starts talking like that, that's a bleak future. Might as well resign and go on vacation, Schumer, because we'd all do a lot better at that point.
All right, there you go. Congressman Rich McCormick out of the great state of Georgia. Good to see you. Would love to have you back. Thanks so much for your insight on this. It is greatly appreciated. We'll talk again soon.
Look forward to it. 7-5.
God bless. Take care.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we all know one thing. Donald Trump is just lying about the bill. Lying about the bill. Well, here's the We Are All Going to Die Act.
Well, it's called the Well, We're All Going to Die Act. And we're already dead, sir. We got dead. Healthcare deaded us. And then the net neutrality, that deaded us. We got dead. We're all dead already. How many times are you going to kill us?
So Trump lies, but it's we're all going to die is the truth?
Yeah,
is that
apparently.
What we're supposed to believe?
Well, it's about damn time. By Smod, like, you know, come on. Oh, welcome back to the show. So I wanted to tell you really quickly, you know how I'm like really crazy with sponsorships and stuff. I have a post up just for some transparency. We had, I like Americans for Prosperity. I think it's a great group. And I think that they've done a lot of good in the past. And I think that they still do a lot of good. And they, I know that they're doing an ad campaign, and they had reached out to our show as well to have us read live copy. And it was very kind of vaguish wording. And it said, like, you know, last November, 77 million Americans, blah, 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 Trump economy, you know, we need no new taxes, make tax cuts permanent. We need to make the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act permanent, et cetera. And then that you would fill in the URL. And the missing element for me wasn't the URL, but it was some of the language. It was like the how. Like, how were they planning to make the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act permanent? Well, what it is they're actually supporting the Big Beautiful Bill, which I don't support. You know, I like the rescissions packages, but I don't think that this goes far enough because the tax cuts actually are still temporary. And I've written about it and I've discussed it on air a lot. And I'm like, I can't. They wanted a quick turnaround. They wanted me to get back this morning and say if I was going to read this copy or not. And I'm like, I can't read this copy. I can't be critical of the bill and then take money for reading copy where I'm encouraging people to go out and support it. And I've always been, and I still love them, and they're probably going to get mad at me. I still love the group because, look, they came in clutch for Tea Party. You would not have had the 2010 revolution without Americans for Prosperity. And I would argue you really wouldn't have Trump without them supporting grassroots in the early stages. That said, you know, I, for the purpose of transparency, because you are going to hear these ads being read by others and posting people posting themes about it, I just wanted you to be aware of it because I think it's important to disclose stuff like this, especially when a lot of the online activism online is very much financed. And I'm happy to partner with entities when goals align. I'm a capitalist, still a bit of an activist, but I'm always transparent. And I've yet to agree to do anything like that. Like, I've never taken money for that stuff. In the past, Americans for Prosperity only facilitated travel. I never took a check. But I just like transparency. So I'm still against the BBB. I'm still for the rescissions. But we'll keep talking about it as it goes. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. This is Representative Bailent. She's from Vermont. And Juan, it's the last part of this video that really matters. So if you just like the last 10 seconds or so, listen to what she says here.
Avenues for people to come here legally to work or to build a home here. I'm going to be really crude right now. We're not going to have anybody around to wipe our asses because we don't have enough people.
Is that what someone, oh boy, she's a mess. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow. God bless.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.